Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that you listen each week. I want to wish you all a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you can join our live stream. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can worship, you can chat, you can offer up prayers, you can fellowship. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. Listen to and watch our weekly worship services or our weekly messages or our weekly children's sermons. We want you to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. Over the past 4 weeks, we've been looking at the songs of Christmas through the eyes of the voices of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph and the angels. Now we sit today and we look at what it means to glorify and praise God forever in Christ's song of salvation. When the angel came to Joseph, the angel tells Joseph to name the baby Jesus because Jesus will save his people from their sins. Jesus in Hebrew means the Lord saves. The angel also said that the baby to be born to Mary would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In Luke, when Mary encounters the angel Gabriel, Gabriel declares that the child is the Son of God. Have you ever stopped to reflect on just those three names? Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus, the Lord saves, Son of God. From the birth of Emmanuel, Jesus, Son of God, today we stand in a long line of people who have experienced hope, love, joy, and peace through the birth of the Christ child laying in a manger. President John F. Kennedy once said that children are the world's most valuable resource and the best hope for the future. Well, Christmas Day really affirms that Christ, the Christ child, is still the world's best hope for the future. Did you know that on December 24th, 1953, there was an episode of the old TV series Dragnet? It first appeared. It was called The Big Little Jesus. The two main characters, if you've never seen the show, were Sergeants Friday and Smith. Sergeants Friday and Smith are called upon to investigate the theft of a baby Jesus from a church nativity display on Christmas Eve. Unable to solve the crime, the officers tell the pastor that church service must be celebrated without the baby Jesus. The figurine is restored when a boy arrives with it in a wagon. He tells the officers that he had vowed that if he got a wagon for Christmas, baby Jesus would have the first ride. An interesting fact is that this episode was remade when Dragnet went to color, and it's not only the only episode made twice, but the only story not based on an actual police case. The birth of Jesus is recorded in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. This story, the birth of Emmanuel, Jesus, the Son of God, has something for everyone. Let's read the story, at least part of it, from Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had told them. From the news, Julianne Holland, she was a 13-year-old, an 8th grader in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, wanted to be a part of Jesus at Christmas. Without informing her parents, she addressed a letter to Jesus in care of the local post office. It landed at the desk of a Presbyterian person who went to a Presbyterian church. That's what it says here in the story. His name was Donald L. Orner. He was 62. He was director of customer services at the Postal Center in Harrisburg. Here's what Julianne wrote. "Dear friend, I am 13 years old, and you must think I'm weird for writing a letter to Jesus when everyone knows it wouldn't get anywhere, but I wanted to give you a message. Every Christmas, all people think about is getting presents. But that's not the reason at all. I think Christmas means getting all your friends together and having a good time because Jesus is born. And that's just the beginning of all the beautiful things he did for us. By being born, he let love into the world." Think and ponder that for a moment. He let love enter into the world. Well, Mr. Orner, 62-year-old man, he wrote a reply. "We have no mail route to heaven, but I am sure that Jesus is aware of what you wrote. He knows your thoughts, your feelings, and every line of your beautiful letter flowed out across all the miles that no mailman could ever travel and touched his heart. You said your letter wouldn't get anywhere. Well, it touched my heart. And be assured, Julianne, he knows. May you have a happy Christmas, and God bless you." Somehow, a reporter found out about the letters, and the Associated Press flashed the stories all around the world. Whew! Think of reading a Christmas story and then reading that story. If you've been listening to any of our broadcasts over the past few weeks, we've been in the 4 Sundays of Advent. We've been journeying to Bethlehem by looking at the good news of great joy for everyone through the birth of Christ the Lord. We have seen how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Then a few months later, Gabriel comes again to announce to Mary that she'll become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary will give birth to the Messiah, the one who will save all the people. Then the angel appears to confirm the message of the birth of Jesus to Joseph. I encourage you to take a few moments in this Christmas season and read chapters 1 and 2 of Luke, and chapter 1 of Matthew. Put yourself in the story, and then put the story in you. Enter into the story of all stories. Can you identify with Zechariah and Elizabeth, or Mary and Joseph, the anonymous innkeeper, the shepherds, the angels, or the reality that the one who created you came to live with you and in you? When Joseph and Mary said yes to God's plan, they likely didn't think this would mean enduring a grueling journey of the 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and they were certainly not expecting there to be no room to physically give birth to the promised Messiah, the Christ child, the King of the universe. But here they were. Let's look at the innkeeper for just a minute today. The innkeeper, and maybe even the overlooked shepherds. The innkeeper, it was an ordinary day for that innkeeper. Think about that. He didn't expect that God would come and knock on his door. Maybe God's knocking on your door right now. Crush of the rush and the crush of the Christmas season maybe is passing. You're maybe taking a deep breath and looking at all the wrapping and all the things around the house and all the things you have to do. Maybe you're not really expecting God to come knocking on your door. The innkeeper didn't expect God to knock on his door. All he knew was that Bethlehem was bustling and busy with all the people coming back to town for the census. But I find interesting that Dr. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, he tells in his account, and Luke is so meticulous in reporting the facts that he leaves out the story of the name of the innkeeper. Now, Luke, when you read the Gospel of Luke, he tells us all the facts all the time. He's like Sergeant Friday, give me the facts. Luke doesn't tell us where the innkeeper was or what the innkeeper was like or even the name of the innkeeper. I know that theologians have written for over 2,000 years about the innkeeper's encounter. The truth is that God comes in many varied ways. Think of the ways how God often enters our life. As we're approaching the end of this year and looking at the opening of a new year, a new chapter, I'd ask you to pause and ponder sometime. In the last year, where has God entered into your life? And start praying about where God is going to enter into your life. Now, this innkeeper, he didn't expect God to show up. And maybe you feel like you're too far gone. Maybe you feel like it's too late. Maybe you're just not thinking about God right now. My prayer in this Christmas season is that you'll know that Emmanuel, God is with us. There was a farmer who was not even a worshiper of God. His name was Abraham, and he was minding his herds when God called him to leave everything and take his wife to a land called Canaan. You can read that story in Genesis chapter 12. There's a fallen prince by the name of Moses. He was working the backside of the desert when God appeared in a burning bush and told him to go to Egypt. Exodus chapter 3. Listen, you've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. If you would like prayer, our prayer team will pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer. If you want a response, there's a little icon for that. We want you to know that you're not alone. We want you to know that God is with you. We want you to know that we'll pray with you or pray for you. If you have a special prayer concern, you can always email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com and we will pray for you. Well, we're talking about how God enters our life. God showed up to Abraham and asked him to go leave everything behind and go to Canaan. Moses was on the dark side of the wilderness minding his father-in-law's sheep, and God shows up in a burning bush. There's a shepherd boy by the name of David. He was busy tending sheep when he was summoned inside, and a priest by the name of Samuel poured oil on his head and whispered in his ear that he was going to be Israel's next king. You can read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 13. There's a high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin by the name of Paul. He was on his way to Damascus putting down this new religious cult when Jesus met him in a blinding light on the way to Damascus. Read that story in Acts 9. Few in Bethlehem were ready. Few were anticipating the Son of God to show up on their doorsteps. Certainly not this Hebrew business owner, the innkeeper, this unknown person. This was just another couple trying to find space in a crowded Bethlehem. My question to you, my so what to you, as we bring this year to a close, are you open? Are you ready? Are you willing? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? Are you open to experience God? Better yet, is the innkeeper of your heart open? And is there room in your life for God to show up and be born in your life? We are religious up until the point it costs us something. I believe that. I believe that we say we believe in God or we believe in Jesus, but up until the point it costs us something, it gets, well, that's where it divides. We want Jesus who forms himself around our priorities, who can be sprinkled on top of our agenda. But Jesus invades our lives and disrupts them all the way. He asks us to leave our nets and follow Him. He asks us to drop our ambitions and join His mission. He asks us to leave behind our idols and worship Him with all of our devotion. Frederick Buechner, a wonderful theologian and writer, he wrote a book called The Hungering Dark. It's a great book. I'd recommend it to you. Frederick Buechner, The Hungering Dark. He writes these words: "Those who believe in God can never, in a way, be sure of Him again. Once they have seen Him in a stable, they can never be sure where He will appear, or to what lengths He will go, or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation He will descend in His wild pursuit of man. There is no place or time so lowly and earthbound that the holiness can be present there too." I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you are. But I can tell you, I know where you're going if you accept Christ today. Christ is here, and He wants to come into your life. He wants to interrupt your life, just like He interrupted the innkeeper. He also interrupted those shepherds. Let's talk for a moment about those shepherds. The present of the shepherds in the Christmas story also tells us a little bit about just what kind of Messiah Jesus would be. He would come to us as Savior, as a King, as the Lion of Judah, but also our shepherd. One minute, those shepherds are watching their flocks. They're catching a few minutes of sleep after a night shift. And the next minute, they are witnesses to salvation's history. The display in the heavens must have been spectacular, as the sky around them filled with a host of heaven praising God, angels worshiping Him. I have no doubt that this wasn't just a small ensemble of angels or the chief angel, but a host, an army of angels. Not even the greatest performance on earth with the most talented musicians could parallel the incredible celebration that unfolded on that big screen of the sky before those shepherds. The plan of God, conceived from time immemorial, the plan of redemption, promised in the garden, was unfolding before their very eyes. I always find it interesting how God seems throughout Scripture to interrupt and show up in the middle of ordinary people's daily routine. What question? I'll ask it again. Are you ready for an interruption? Are you ready for God to show up? Yeah. I have a little simple prayer. I just say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Fill my heart. Help me to walk with You today." I also have a little prayer I say in the morning. "Good morning, Jesus. Come in my heart. Help me make a brand new start. Be with me all through the day, and help me do all things Your way." I want Jesus to show up every day. I want the Holy Spirit to help me every day. I want God's anointing and power to teach me to see the way He sees, to feel the way He feels. Are you ready for an interruption in the middle of your ordinary life? It's not like the shepherds got an email invite the day before. "Meet at the field. I have an epic event for you." And yet, even though they were caught by surprise, these men of humble means and reputation responded in ways that prove God's wisdom in entrusting the announcement of the birth of Jesus to them. They believed. They believed. These men saw the angels, heard the witness, and believed. The scribes are too jaded. The royals were too sophisticated. The Romans, they were too dismissive. But these humble outsiders had a simple faith to look up and listen and put their faith in Jesus. And they hear the message: "Do not be afraid. To bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." You see how personal this is? Do you see the message of Christmas is for you? He is Christ the Lord, born to you. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, a man on whom his favor rests. Don't be afraid this year. Don't be afraid of next year. The message of Christmas is good news of great joy for all people. A sign, a baby lying in a manger, all wrapped up. A great company of angels singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on those whom God favors. So what? The response of the shepherds should be our response. They go and see what had been told to them. There was direct obedience. They said, let's go. They got up. They hurried and kept looking until they found what they were told, a baby lying in a manger. And then we're told that they spread the news, the good news, the glory of God, good news, and everyone was amazed. They returned home a different way. My prayer for you this year, as we end this year, is that we will all return home a different way. We will return home a different person. When Christ is in our hearts, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of wars and rumors of wars. We don't have to be afraid of economic distress. We don't have to be afraid of health news. We have Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. That is the good news. That is the power of Christmas. More than any other time of the year, the name of Jesus now is on many people's lips. For a few precious days or months, the name of Jesus will be proclaimed. People will come together and they become like a chorus, a mixed chorus of business people, lawyers, doctors, nurses, teachers, students, homemakers, retired people. And we're all banking on Bethlehem's mystery is really a reality. Come and behold him. We sing that song. It should stir up. Well, it woke up the sleepy shepherds, and they brought in the Christ child. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about asking Christ to be in the midst of us. Let's have a prayer. Dear gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Emmanuel this Christmas season. We give you thanks for the gift of Emmanuel every day. God is with us. We thank you because Emmanuel is practical, personal, and forever with us. We thank you and we ask that you will help us to continually respond to Emmanuel, God with us. In this season of heartaches, hurts, and harm, warm our hearts with your heavenly joy. In this season of insecurity, warm our hearts with your peace. In this season of war, warm our hearts with your hope. In the ugliness of hatred, warm our hearts with your love. Bless our homes, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our workplaces. Bless our schools, our city, our state, and our nation. May the whole world come to know the saving grace of the Christ child. Help us to well unwrap our Christmas gift anew every day. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unconditional and enduring love. His love endures forever. My prayer is that you'll turn to him and accept that reality of Christmas. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. And so do we.